appreciate Sister Carolyn singing that song, the message in that song. Where are the children? Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he's trying to get through some thick-headed disciples one day, and he sent a little child in the mess and said, be like him, or you ain't going. You can learn a lot from children. They're so innocent. I mean, they're as pure as a driven snow.
Right.
They don't have any agenda or motive. I mean, they just, like she's talking about that little boy crying. I mean, he said, Jesus can help me, and how true that is. But with that song, in Sunday school, I mentioned about a little 11-year-old girl. She was asleep in her bedroom, and an MS-13 gang member broke into her bedroom and raped her there in her bed. And that's part of their initiation. I mean, you can't just get in and that's our thing. You got to do some dastardly deed. But there's no safe place no more. It really bothers me that our children have become lambs for the slaughter, these school shootings. Even the school curriculum just about makes me nauseated. And then they hear this little girl in her own house. I mean, she wasn't at the ball game. She wasn't at the movie theater. She wasn't at the party. She was in her own home, in her own bed. And this guy broke into her bedroom and raped her. I have zero tolerance for that. And our politicians, I hate to say it, they could care less about that happening or even about her. And that makes me even more mad. But I appreciate Sister Carolyn. We need to get these children in church. The only hope they've got is that we can either get them to Jesus or tell them about Jesus, because the deck is stacked against them. And your pastor's on vacation this week, and I'm thankful. I ain't had a vacation this year. This is the first week of vacation I've had this year. And they'll tell you I work with the people I work with. They'll say, he's out of vacation by now. But they wouldn't let me take a vacation, Brother Mitchell, because they didn't have anybody take my place. Now it don't matter. We're kind of slow right now. They said, yeah, go ahead. But I didn't really schedule this vacation, Rita. And yet there's a tent meeting scheduled for this week. And I'm going to get to go to it every night down there in front of Hardee's. And praise God. I mean, even though I didn't schedule this vacation, God already had it worked out. And I wouldn't have got to go to this tent meeting had it not been for being on vacation this week. So I'm looking forward. Your preacher get charged up this week. Y'all get ready for homecoming. Bring your seatbelt, your airbag, and everything else. I mean, I'm telling you now, I'll be fired up after being at that tent meeting this week. We need to turn to Galatians this morning to get our preaching text this morning. I appreciate the work took place here yesterday. And boy, I'll tell you what, it can't get much done without workers. I didn't do anything, and I feel bad about it. I had my wife with me. I wanted to try to get her up here, and I was successful to get her up here, but try to get where she could find her way here, because she's aiming to come.
Amen.
Homecoming. I'm looking forward to that. I need her here. I want her here, but I ain't going to kill her, but I can't make her be here. And a lot of people that are lost are in that category. God can't make them get saved. I mean, He can plead with them. He can send preachers to them. He can send visitation boards to them and tracts to them and visit them in a dream. But He can't make them get saved. My wife's kind of like that. She's preoccupied teaching children up there in Scottsville. She's a member of East Willow Baptist Church, but I need her here. Y'all pray for me about that.
Amen.
Lord already knows how I feel about it. Our preaching text, we'll go to Galatians chapter 1. I'll read the first 9 verses, and we'll go from there. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, and he's real specific in his declaring himself apostle. He said, not of men. A lot of men, so-called preachers, and I certainly don't have any spite or axe to grind here. Man, I'm glad Christ is preached. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Paul's credentials here are as high as they can be. I mean, he says, I'm an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. That's the highest credentials that a man can have.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of preachers today, and I don't have no bone here. But there are also some God-called, anointed preachers, and you can tell the difference. And Paul here in this proclamation here, he's very clear. He said, this ain't nothing to do with me. This ain't nothing to do with nobody else. I mean, Jesus said about Paul, when his name was Saul, he said, he's a chosen vessel unto me.
Yeah.
He'll suffer many things for my name's sake. And he himself said he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, I just wanted to draw that out of that one verse here. And he said, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. You know, we've been held hostage.
Yeah.
And he set us free. And Jesus said, if the Son therefore sets you free, you should be free indeed. A lot of people, they kind of take that lightly. But I'm glad I'm free. Amen. But he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. I was held hostage for 34 years, part of it my own fault. But praise God, my eyes have been opened. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like that little boy in that message about born blind. He said, I was blind, but now I see. And that's a pretty good testimony. Right. He said, hey, I might have been blind before, but I ain't blind no more. But anyway, he said that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that's the introduction of what we're getting ready to read right here. Now verse 6, he's speaking specifically to this church in Galatia.
Yeah.
He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. This is important right here. Unto another gospel. Don't forget those words. Which is not another. Now he's clarifying what he just said. He said, I marvel that you're so soon moved to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. It goes on today. And you'll get that here in a minute. Believe you me. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Right.
As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. I want to stop my reading right there. Now I want to preach today, is your gospel cursed? And y'all pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you, Lord, that no matter how much hatred there is for this Bible, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm so glad, Lord, that it's as eternal as you are. That, Lord, it's the greatest miracle of the day that we live in, other than a lost soul getting saved, is that the world cannot overthrow this precious book. As much as they'd like to remove it, as much as they'd like to crucify it, as much as they'd like to rewrite it and do away with it, I'm so glad that you said heaven and earth would pass away, but your words would not pass away. I'm so glad it's eternal. I'm so glad we have it today. Lord, you called me to preach. You told me to preach your word. Without your word, I could not meet that accommodation. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that precept upon precept, line upon line, I can preach your word as the Holy Spirit gives the unction and the help. And I'm asking for that unction and help even here today. Lord, I pray you preach to me and through me. I pray these that are before me will receive it. And I pray they'll know that it proceeded from your word and know that it's God's word, not man's word. I pray for those that are here this message by way of internet. May all of the controversy, all the questions be answered entirely by the Word of God. I'm so glad that God, not only is it for instruction, for reproof, for rebuke, but Lord, it's for doctrine. A lot of people don't care about doctrine, but Lord, we need sound doctrine. We need a foundation, Lord, or we'll fall when the storms come. But I'm glad that you provided that foundation, the Word of God, that we could build upon. We pray for your blessing today in this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Is your gospel cursed? Of course, y'all know, or some of you know, this week I mowed my yard. Old Brother Ed's son's lawnmower, minding my business. My scripture signs out there in the front yard, Sister Phyllis. I mean, preaching Jesus till he comes. Hell's real. Something like, seek ye the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. I'm minding my business, read. I'm on this curve, hit zero turn, and I see this car go by, and I see the backup lights come on, and I look, and I said, well, Lord, here it comes. They backed up and pulled my driveway, and a gentleman got out of that car, Joanne, and he got him a little Bible. He got him a little watchtower track hanging out of it. He said, can I talk to you about the Bible? I said, how much you know about it? I turned the lawnmower off, Mitchell. I said, have you read it all the way through? He said, well, no. I said, and you want to talk to me about the Bible? He said, I'm not stupid.
Right.
I realized it was a cult, and I realized a lot of people fall prey being weak, and that's what they're looking for,
yeah.
Someone that's weak-minded,
right.
Someone that's gullible.
Yeah.
And you know what? I had no problem at all with the conversation that we had. Matter of fact, I welcome you to come back. Bring all of them. Bring the whole tribe, the whole elders. Bring all the parchments, everything they got. I said, we'll gather in the front yard, the backyard, or I'll come to you, whichever one is more convenient. But listen, Paul here, man, he ain't beating around the bush. He said, if anybody preaches any gospel other than this gospel, that ought to be a red flag warning.
Amen. That's right.
You listen to what Paul says. He said, let him
be accursed.
Be accursed.
That's right.
Boy, man, I tell you, that's about as dangerous can get.
Yes.
Now, I will be preaching pretty firmly here in a minute. Right now, I'm just laying a little bit of a foundation here. But everybody ain't got the truth.
That's right.
One thing Jesus said, and he hammered it, Brother Mitchell. He said, take heed that no man deceive you.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of deception going on, and the devil's all for it. He would love to have any means whereby he might deceive you. But we're in light, and he's darkness. He can't get too close to the light because it exposes him, and we've kind of got the advantage over him, if you know what I mean. I mean, he's in the darkness, we're in the light. And what fellowship has light with darkness? But don't get me wrong, he still influences other people
to
come to you and to try to get to you to let down what you know to be true and take up something that you don't know anything about.
Yeah.
A lot of people have fell victims. You know, it ain't been that long ago since there were some people, Joanne. I don't know how in the world you can get anybody this gullible. But they believe somehow when this meteor come through that there was a spaceship on the other side of this meteor. And they believed if you had the right tennis shoes on and the right clothes on that you'd drink this poison and you'd wake up in that spaceship, and believe it or not, they did it.
Yeah.
Now how do you sell that to somebody? And then you've got another guy, he's passing out Kool-Aid and they're all dying and he could care less, you know. And you know what I mean? You just got to be careful what you swallow unless God gives it to you.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you ain't have to second guess it. I mean, brother, God gives it to you. It's going to barrel straight. It's true. One thing it's impossible for God to do, it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18, Titus 1:2. God that cannot lie promised before the foundation of the world. I'm just telling you, there's some people that will lie to you.
Yes, that's right.
They might not even realize it.
That's right.
You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 talks about if this gospel be hid, it's hid to them that the devil has blinded their minds I'm telling you, a lot of people are blind, beating
yes,
the blind.
They are.
They don't have no knowledge, really, of anything real. I was telling Brother Ed this morning in the Sunday school lesson, I like real. I don't like fake. I don't like false.
No.
I like real.
That's right.
I'm glad I'm really saved. I'm glad I've really been called to preach. I'm glad I ain't got to put on any show. I just got to let God have his way.
That's right.
But listen,
amen.
Paul here says, if any man bring any other gospel to you than this gospel, he said, let him be cursed.
Yeah.
Now this guy, I hope I'm not unkind here. This guy was a Jehovah Witness. I'm a Jehovah Witness, but I'm a saved Jehovah Witness.
That's right.
This man, he just thought he was a Jehovah Witness. He will fall in the category, Brother Mitchell, of Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, where the Lord said, many have said to me in that day, Lord, Lord, do we not do many mighty works in your name? In your name cast out devils, right. Do this and that. And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Now listen, he's a good shepherd. He knows his own sheep. He calls them by name. They know him. They know his voice. And others, they won't follow. But there's some people here, they just don't understand why he don't say, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
that's right.
I don't even know you.
That's what
a lot of people
Amen.
Have been the worst kind of deception that there is they haven't checked out. You know, the Bible mentioned in Acts chapter 17 about some more noble than those in Thessalonica, those Grecians. You know what they did, Rita? They checked out whether those things were so or not. And I challenge all of y'all, not just with me, but anybody that's preaching anything, check it out. You got right before you all you need to, what do they call that, we call it proof. Proofread. To proofread what somebody's saying.
Amen.
Don't line up that book, spin it out.
That's right.
Hey, listen, there was a preacher preached this morning. I didn't necessarily agree with everything he said, but there was a lot of good that he did say that I could agree with. And I took it and swallowed it. The rest of it I didn't. But Paul here, he said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranathema. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. Anathema means cursed.
Yes.
Maranathema means our Lord cometh. So he's going to be cursed when the Lord comes. So I'm just telling you, God knows his own. The foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And by the way, that Jehovah's Witness, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 42, if God were your Father, he said you'd love me. So it just don't line up, you know what I mean. Peter talked about damnable heresies that would bring upon them swift destruction, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Some people just don't care. I mean, they're just in this thing for the show.
That's right.
I hate to say this, Brother Mitchell, but some people don't care whether it's real or not.
They don't.
They're doubters, they're scoffers, they make light. I mean, they... Look.
That's right.
I'm saved.
Amen.
I might have been one of them, but I can't be one of them no
more. That's right. That's right.
I just can't. I know better now. I might have been in darkness, and I might have been born in the morning, but it wasn't yesterday morning.
Right.
You know what I mean? I got saved. I'm in good and saved. And I have to admit, I'm enjoying the journey.
Right.
And I'm getting closer to home.
Right.
One day I'll get home, but until I get home, there's only one exit I'm looking for, and that's my exit when I take my heavenly flight, and I leave it all behind. And I tell you what, I go and see what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what's never entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him, glory to God. I tell you, I got a home in heaven, amen.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Man, I tell you what, I wouldn't miss heaven for nothing. But some people, it's just not serious for them. They don't care.
Yeah.
And Paul,
right.
Paul talked about in the book of Titus about a man that's a heretic. He said after the first and second admonition, he said, reject.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably the right thing to do. I do have a problem giving up. I know I'm wasting time that could be better used somewhere else, but I hate to just give up on somebody. And I pray for them and
right.
try to hand them a track and try to get the truth to them, Brother Mitchell.
That's right. But
Paul here told Titus, he said, a man that's a heretic, he said, after the first and second admonition, just reject him. Move on. John mentioned that if I come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. 2 John chapter 1, verse 10. And I was telling Brother Head, I said I used to kind of agree with that, and you can say what you want to, but you know, I feel compelled that if I could somehow win one of them, can you imagine having a Baptist that works as hard as they work, going door to door, street to street, country to country? I mean, I never seen nobody work so much as they do.
That's right.
And I went to God, we could like a dog rip some out off all this. But you know why they work so hard, Sister Rita? Well, the devil's pushing them from the back. He won't let them slow down. He won't let them rest.
Yeah.
You know why we don't do so much? He's pushing us this way. It's all right. You got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Somebody else will do it. You don't have to worry yourself. God's on the throne. And you know, it's kind of an oxymoron. The devil pushes us back, and then he pushes them forward. And you know,
right.
He's cruel. I mean, he really pushes them beyond measure. I mean, they go. And if you could get saved by what they do, they'd be saved, but we are. But listen, no work will ever get you any closer to God unless you are saved.
Amen.
And works and salvation go hand in hand, and works without salvation are of no value at all.
Amen.
But anyway, he said, don't even bid them Godspeed. Paul said, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Now, he didn't just say, I declare unto you the gospel. He said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
He said, not only I want to tell you the gospel, he said, I just want to tell you I've already received.
I got it.
I'd rather hear it from somebody. You know, if Rita made a good cherry pie, she come in and said, Brother Ed, I had some good cherry pie. And I said, how good was it? She said, I had a piece of it in the midst of that. Well, I said, give me some of that. She's already took of it. And I can already see in her eyes, and she's done sold me. I said, I'm ready. You got how much you got? I mean, you know, that's kind of it. He said, I have received this thing. He said, I know. I'm delivering you what I've received. I'm telling it, Paul. He said, I've already got it. I've received it. I want to give it to you. Amen.
Yeah.
Paul's a saved preacher.
Yeah.
Here's the gospel. That's as clear as you can put it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. And I'm only going to read two verses. And part of those two verses, because I want to keep it as clear as a bell. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's important.
Yeah.
There's a lot of so-called Christ. There's people today that will crucify themselves. There's people down in Mexico today that think they can do penance. And they try to nail themselves to a cross. Listen, he'd beat beyond recognition. Well, laid on him the iniquity of us all. I know what I deserve. He got what I deserve, what you deserve, and everybody else's. Throw it on him. And he took that load. He took it all the way to Calvary, carrying.
Yes, he did.
And I tell you what he did, buddy. He nailed those accusations to his cross. And then he prayed, Carolyn.
That's right.
Father,
amen.
Forgive them. And God looked down and saw the suffering of his son. And he said, I'll forgive them for your sake. That prayer that he prayed, that intercessory prayer, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Is found the answer to that in Ephesians 4:32. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. I want you to know that prayer was not just prayed. That prayer was heard. That prayer was honored. He said, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
Yeah.
That's not all of it.
Right.
And that he was buried. A lot of people, Brother Mitchell, they don't even think he died.
That's right.
They think he just passed out, feeling small, the pain that he endured and the suffering he did. And they think that, you know, being in that grave with the stone rolled up on there and in that darkness and dampness or whatever, they think somehow he revived and come back to life. Listen, he had a hole in his side big enough he told Thomas to put his hand in.
That's right.
I'm just telling you, just do the math on this. Some of this so-called arguments or accusations about how he died, they have no idea what he went through. To be our Passover lamb, to redeem us from our sins. I just want you to know there was nothing left to him. If they could have killed him, they would have, but they couldn't. He said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. Look, he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and this is important. Boy, there's so many people strained at this. And that he rose again
the third day.
Boy, they really struggle with that.
Yes, they do.
Here it is, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
The third day. Why argue with it? That's clear as clear can be. He got up on the third day. I'm telling you, glory to God. He didn't just die for me. He didn't just go to hell for me. He come back with the keys and got up and arose with victory. Amen. Over his foes and showed himself to 500 at one time.
That's right.
Man, oh man, he gave a big witness about his resurrection. He was seen above 500 at one time. Paul said he was seen by him. He was seen by Peter. Well, Paul went on to say, by the grace of God, he said, I am what I am. The gospel made Saul into Apostle Paul. Well, this cursed gospel, I hate to say it, but it's an epidemic proportion. There are more people going to hell by cursed gospels than there are going to heaven by the precious gospel of Christ.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Jesus didn't beat around the bush. He said, broad's the way, Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. About the broad way, he said, many go in therein. About the narrow way, fellas, he said, few there be that find it.
Right.
You kind of look at that big ark that Noah built, and only 8 people had enough sense to go in.
That's right.
Can you imagine all the people that sat in there while he's building that ark? What you building, Noah? Mm-hmm. He said, I'm building an ark. He's crazy. Well, what you going to do with this ark, Noah? Well, God said in the flood, it never rained.
No.
On the earth. God had watered the earth with dew.
Amen, yeah.
But it never rained. Mm-hmm. Noah talked about this rain. He thought, he's definitely crazy.
Right.
He thinks it's going to rain. It's never rainfall, Carolyn.
Yeah.
And here's a preacher preached for 120 years of preaching license, and he's preaching about a flood coming. And he's crazy. He's lost it. Well, listen, there's another flood coming. But this time it ain't water, it's fire.
Amen.
And that same crazy bunch, the same scoffers that scoffed in Noah's day, said, we'll see about that, Noah. Let me tell you something. When God shut that door, they realized they believed
that. That's right.
This door that I preached about last Sunday, that door to heaven, God said, I set before you an open door. That door is open to anyone. Whosoever will, let him come. Drink the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come. Call upon the Lord. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I'm just telling you, that open door will close one day. And when it does this time, buddy, it won't be rain, it'll be fire.
Yeah.
And that same grief that fell upon all the living upon the day of Noah's day, everyone had breath in their nostrils, died. God put that in there for a reason, because the fish lived. They found fossilized fish up on top of Mount Everest. Do the math. That ain't hard to figure out.
That's right.
The fossil record points to a flood. That flood, God said, I sent that flood.
Amen.
And I told a man to build a boat. But while I'm on that, I might as well throw this anyway. Remember what he told Noah to take in there?
Yeah.
Male and female.
That's
man,
right.
We've really lost it.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
They don't even know what bathroom we're going. I appreciate Sister Carolyn singing this song.
Yeah.
We've got to get these children in church and try somehow prepare them for these lives being peddled in the schools.
Lord.
They tell me now you can't even call a child a boy or a girl. You got to find some kind of pronoun, or you can be charged with some kind of crime. Now, I'll tell you what the crime is. That junk made its way in. That's what the crime is.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Jesus mentioned a bunch in Matthew chapter 23, and I'll try to wrap this up real quick. Matter of fact, I probably should turn there instead of try to quote some of this. But this right here is about like our text today that Paul mentioned there. It's about as straight can be. Jesus here, he takes 15 verses here to talk about these people that he's going to be sending these woes to. Yeah, Matthew chapter 23. And his description of them is somewhat good. He said they set Moses' seed. He said, whatsoever they bid you to do, observe it. He said, do it. But he said, but do not ye after their works, for they say do not. In other words, they saying at all. For he said they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move with one of their fingers. I mean, they just won't do what they say they tell others to do.
Yeah.
They think they're holier than everybody else. This really bothers me that this goes on even today. Verse 5, he says, all their works they do for to be seen of men. They want the praise of man more than the praise of God. They make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uttermost rooms at the feast, and chief seats in the synagogues, and the greetings in the marketplace, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And this verse 9 really don't meet some people's doctrine here. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Now that term out there is not talking about me, talking about my dad, because I did call him Father.
Yeah.
That's talking about with regard to a religious position.
Amen.
You know, kiss my ring and call me somebody that I ain't. He ain't my father.
That's right.
I ain't kissing his ring, I ain't calling him Father. I'll tell you right now, boy. It's all show and no go.
That's
Jesus,
right.
Buddy, I'll tell you what, I could scare y'all a little bit, but I won't. But I'll tell you right now, boy, he put it pretty plain right here. He said, call no man your father upon the earth. One is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be called ye masters. It's better off to be humble, be meek and lowly in heart.
Right.
Jesus took upon himself a form of a servant. And it'd be a good thing for you to do and me to do too. For one is your master, even Christ. But he that's greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Nebuchadnezzar found out about that. And he that humble himself shall be exalted. Now, verse 13 is where it starts rocking the boat a little bit. He says, but woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Here's what's bad about what he's saying. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for neither go in yourselves. They ain't even interested in going to heaven.
No.
To them, this is political. To them, this is, you know, position. Some men, they don't think eternally, Joanne. And they work hard to get there. They don't care how it ends. They just live for now. They're not looking eternally.
That's right.
You know, twice in Proverbs,
amen.
Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs chapter 16, it says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. And they don't care about that.
No.
You know, I hate to say it, but they're just playing. They're pretending. Mm-hmm. And I'll hit on that here again in a minute. But this cursed gospel, it's as empty as a balloon.
Yeah.
It's got nothing in it, Brother Ed. And you know, I hate to say it like this, but it grows. And the reason it grows, the devil's all for it. He don't resist it. He don't try to attack it like he does here. We just got a few here, but I'll tell you what, they're good. I told Brother Rick, I said, they top of the line.
Right.
Right.
Man, I'm proud of y'all.
Amen.
I love you enough. I prayed for you last night. You called your name out.
Amen.
This morning, too.
Amen.
Yeah. Didn't take me too long.
That's
when I got called.
Amen.
The pastor of church realizes how much God loves his children.
Yeah, that's right.
It rocked my boat just a little bit, Sharon. He let me realize just how much he loved them. He said, you be careful.
That's right.
Here's mine. See, old brother, I'm kind of like old John the Baptist. I like to just get up on top of the pew and holler and scream and scream.
That's right.
Lord said, it's mine, boy.
Yeah.
You love them. You help them. You pray for them.
Yeah.
You nurture them.
Yeah.
You know what? I do this thing willing. There's a reward. I want
right.
to do right. I want to act right.
That's right.
God let me know real quick how much He loves His children. But the Lord here, He said, they ain't going to heaven. And not only they ain't going, He said, they don't even let other people go. You list that word in here. He said, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are in it to go in. I mean, they're hindering people from going to heaven. That's as bad can get.
Amen.
And they're so-called leaders of a religious cult.
Right.
He said, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, you devour widows' house. It's all about the money. They could care less about the widow. I better not go no further than that, but they don't really care that that's all she's got. They just want it. Yeah. He said, full of pretense. Boy, ain't that sad. He's putting it pretty straight here, Carolyn. He said, they devour widows' houses and full of pretense. They make long prayers. Oh, you better be careful when it comes to God.
Amen.
You know what happened to Aaron's two sons? Well, they took strange fire in there and offered to God. He killed them both. I mean, that was the first thing they did. They were consecrated to God. And they showed them. God got a message across pretty quick. They went and offered that strange fire to God. He killed both of them. That probably devastated Aaron. And Moses said, God, I don't remember exactly how he worded that, but he said, God, you know, said it had to be done a certain way. You remember David, he was doing the right thing the wrong way. And instead of the ark being on the arms of Levites carrying it, it was on a cart, a limousine, being brought into Jerusalem with oxen pulling it. And God intervened and killed Uzziah and smote him in half. They called it a breach because God blew him in two right there and scared even David. He was afraid even to bring the ark. He took it over, lifted it at a Uzziah, I don't remember who it was, looked at their house. God blessed that house. He went over and finally got it, brought it in Jerusalem right away. You know what David said, Brother Ed? He said, God said it has to be done this way.
It's supposed
to be carried between the Levites. See, God's the God of order. He set everything in order when he made everything, and the order is still there even today. God's the God of order.
Amen.
But anyway, for a pretense, they make long prayer. He said, for that reason, they're going to receive the greater damnation. You see, to whom much is given, much is required. You ought not take no more upon you than what you can bear.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something. I'll receive a greater judgment than you will. I already know that. That's why I try to be careful.
Yeah.
I try to stay humble. I ain't really trying to get myself in trouble. I'm trying to keep myself out of trouble. But these, they don't care. And Jesus here in a loving way says you're going to receive a greater damnation for making this pretense of prayer for the very these widow houses, you bunch of hypocrites, he said. He said, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. This goes on today. And when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than you sell. That's pretty blunt. I'm telling you, buddy. It goes on today. And I see all of these acclamades and all this marvel and all this wealth and all this pomp and put on and everything come out with a staff, you know, and it's okay for you to go. You go up there and you kiss the ring and you take the wafer and you do a sign and you're good to go. Look. It's all show, no gold.
That's right.
I'm telling you, many have done harm to the simplicity
that's
in Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you imagine coming up on a car wreck, Brother Mitchell, and not have anything to offer someone in that car that said, I'm dying, I'm lost? You didn't have time to get them a baptism together. You didn't have time to get the church together, to get them to join the church. You didn't have time to do nothing. But you did have time to tell them, call upon Jesus. Tell him you're sorry.
Amen.
Tell him you want to be forgiven.
Right.
Tell him you want to be saved. That's
right.
All you got to do.
Yeah.
And I'll show you how simple it is here in just a minute.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. For pretense, they make long prayers. Can you believe they even pay tithes? I'm going to skip around here because I got to wrap this up. Verse 23 of Matthew 23. He says they pay tithes. And I pay tithes.
Yes.
Man, I done found out God honors tithes. I love to pay my tithes, don't get me wrong. And you know, God don't need the money.
No.
It's just me a way of saying thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
thank you.
Right.
And you know, I hate to say it, but God said, try me and prove me. That's what he's talking about tithing.
Yeah.
But anyway, not only they pay their tithes, they argue with people that are of sound doctrine. I mean, he said, you blind guys, you strain in a net and swallow a camel. They're not even interested in the truth.
Right.
They look the part on the outside, verse 25 through 28 says. But verse 33 says, they're snakes on their way to hell. That's pretty bad terms.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
God said, you serpents, you generation of vipers,
yep.
How can you escape the damnation of hell? They're not going to escape. A lot of people think they're going to impress God with word. Let me tell you what impresses God. Sharon, I'm glad the blood has been applied.
Right.
Man, I'm telling you what, without that blood, I'd be scared to death. Stand in the presence of God.
Right. Yes,
and not only have I got the blood applied to the goalpost of my heart, I'm so glad I've got a good Jewish lawyer going to be standing there with me. He's going to have my case thrown out of court. Yeah, that way I'm good. He's going to be there. That'll accuse me. He said, that ain't. And my lawyer is going to say, it's on the blood.
Amen.
Throw that out of court. You know what I mean? Woo! What brought the hair up on my arm? Praise God. Hallelujah. Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Amen.
Right.
But anyway, hey, they argue about people that know the right way. And they argue about doctrine. They look good on the outside, but inwardly they're just snakes on their way to hell.
Yeah.
The apostles were commanded to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. The end can't even come until the gospel is preached in all the world for a witness. You may not realize this, Matthew 24:14, but America came into existence for that very fulfillment of that passage.
Right.
America was raised up. We didn't take it from the Indians.
Right.
God had them here just holding the place till we came.
Amen.
Did you know in Christopher Columbus's diary, you know what he put in there, Joanne? He said, I set sail for the furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah.
He put that in his diary.
Yeah.
See, he believed that verse there about God sitting upon the circle of the earth.
That's
in
right.
Isaiah 45:40. He believed that it wasn't flat.
Right.
He believed enough, he set sail. He believed enough, he made the destination. I believe God had a hand in it. But anyway,
right.
God raised up America for two things. One, protect Israel. Second, to proclaim the gospel.
Yes.
I mentioned Brother Ed this morning in Sunday school about taking on a missionary.
Yeah.
Every single missionary proceeded from America
right.
to other places. As a matter of fact, to the four corners of this world, the missionaries have proceeded from America. That tells me that God raised it up. I'm telling you, the fruit lines up. But listen, the end can't even come till the gospel is preached in all the world for a witness.
Right.
Paul told the church in Rome, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel unto you, Romans 1:15. Paul said, I fully preach the gospel to you in Romans 15:19. He said, Christ sent him to preach the gospel, 1 Corinthians 1:17. Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, 1 Corinthians 9:16. Now let me show you how simple the gospel message is. Some children was asked one day, Carolyn, to bring some things the next day to school that spoke about the gospel. And a little girl brought two popsicle sticks and they was tied together like a cross. She said, teacher, this makes me think about the gospel.
Amen.
Simple message.
That's right.
A little boy brought a rock with a hole in it. He said, this rock makes me think about the glory. It makes me think about the gospel.
That's right.
She said, that's wonderful, son. And here come a little boy. His name was Mitchell. And he had a hickory nut. And handed it to the teacher. She said, what's this? He said, open it up. She opened it up and said, what is this? He said, read. She read it, said, John 3:16. He said, teacher, that's the gospel of the
nation.
I'm just telling you, it's not that hard to understand the gospel. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a simple message. There's no way you can add to it. There's no way you can take away from it. I mean, God said it in the heavens. He commanded to a thousand generations. You get there and you've got something holy. Don't let go of it for nothing.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. World's in disarray. You know why? Because they let go of the gospel message.
Right, yeah.
Look,
right.
I'm not going to say there's not some truth in some of them.
Right.
Man put a book in my hand one day, Rita. And it was a Book of Mormon. I'll tell this with some charity. I didn't know no better. I just got saved. I had just finished reading my Bible through. I got saved April 27, 1988, and I made my mind up somehow I was going to finish the Bible for the end of the year. So So it was right there in the beginning of 1989. This man came to me. He's an elder of the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And he said, Eddie, I heard you read the Bible all the way through. I said, that's right. He said, well, I've got something I want to give you. Now, you got to listen here now, because this is how easy it can happen.
Yeah.
He said, I want to give you this. It's a Book of Mormon. He said it goes hand in hand with the Bible. I didn't know better.
I
was about as innocent as innocent could be, but I was also as ignorant could be. I didn't know no better. I didn't question it. I didn't pray over it. I took that book home, and he gave me. My wife at the time was staying with a sick woman, and I was there at the home with our babies, and I had put them to bed, Carolyn. I'm going to tell you, as true can be here. I laid prostrate across my bed, opened up this Book of Mormon, put my hands like this right here, elbows it laying there, and I'm sitting there reading it, Carolyn. The first thing the Book of Mormon will do is it'll tell you about the testimony of Joseph Smith. It'll tell you about an angel come to him and told him about some golden tablets and where they were, and he went and dug them up, and then that angel interpreted what those golden tablets said. And I read that testimony, Brother Mitchell, and I hate for anybody to know this, but I swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. That's how easy it can happen.
Yeah, it is. Right.
And I started to read more.
Right.
I mean, someone had told me that this went with the Bible, and I didn't know nobody. And as I started to read more, God intervened. Now, God's my witness here, so we get to heaven, you ask him, did you intervene there? Brother Eddie, you see, I had to.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he did.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Right there in my bedroom, 9000 Heavenly Road, me in my bedroom with the door shut, all by myself, babies asleep, God spoke to me, Carolyn. That was pretty scary.
Amen.
He said, why aren't you reading my word?
Yeah.
And I felt like a kid being caught in a cookie jar red-handed.
Yeah, right.
I closed that Book of Mormon. Yeah. My heart skipped more than one beat.
Right.
I was very afraid. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I said, Lord, it was told me that this was your word. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please help me to never make a mistake
Amen.
Like this again. I done the best I could with it, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
I went to work. The man that gave me that book, his name was Dalton Stevens. I went to him, Sharon. I confronted him. I said, Dalton, I started reading that book you gave me. And I said, just after I read the testimony of Joseph Smith, I said, I started reading the contents of that book. And I said, God intervened and told me it wasn't his word. And I worked at Donnelly's at the time. And he was on press 501. And there's a ladder right there to get to the upper part of this press. And Dalton grabbed that ladder and he started shaking like a leaf in the wind. And he said, that wasn't God, that was the devil that told you that. And he lost all of his color. He died within 2 weeks.
Wow.
A dead man.
Wow.
I went out to the hospital to see him. He wouldn't even look at me. He was looking up the ceiling. And I said, Dalton, you know better. His wife really did not want me in the room. His mother did not want me in the room. They believe that if their husband don't beckon them, they don't even get to get up out of the grave. We ever heard such nonsense? Give me a scripture verse on that. But anyway, I'm glad God intervened. That's
amen,
how
amen.
That's how easy it can happen. I was almost a victim. If God had not intervened, oh, Brother Eddie read that whole book, and I might have been a different preacher today because of it. But I'm so glad that God is willing to help us, deliver us.
Amen.
And I got delivered out of that mess. And like I said, I confronted him about that. But listen, when it comes to the gospel, you need to be clear. You need to be certain.
Yeah.
What is the gospel according to you? You need to know it. There's going to be somebody come to you, and they're going to do just like God and deal with me.
Right.
That's right.
You better know the gospel.
Right.
Yes. Right.
You need to be able to say, hey, I'm saved.
Right.
Right.
Names in the book, sins on the blood. I'm a citizen of another country. I'm an alien. I feel guilty about voting for you. I mean, I do. I hate to put down my citizenship in the United States of America when I know my citizenship.
That's right.
I feel like I'm lying every time I vote.
That's right.
I'm going to do it anyway. I'm trying to keep them devils out of office. You know what I mean? We got to vote.
Amen.
Listen, you need to know yourself. Not what old Brother Eddie says. over at Bethel over there, Rick said, now there's going to come a day, they're going to come in here and they're going to ask you what you believe. And he said, when that comes, he said, you need to be able to tell them. And Brother Donald House, he said, well, this time we believe what you believe. Rick said, that's good, but it won't work. He said, you need to know what you believe.
That's right.
So keep that in mind. What is the gospel according to you? If you've got the right message, you can help someone. Can you imagine, Sharon, if I had two pills, one this hand and one this hand, and I said, pick you one. One's poison and one will give you 20 more years of life. He said, which one? I said, take your pick. Yeah. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, that's about what this is. Make sure you're giving the right medicine, because if you take the poison, it'll kill you. Yeah. But if you give the gift of life, it's Jesus Christ, you can actually help someone. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this simple message. Lord, I know, Lord, it was crude in delivery, but Lord, the truths are undeniable.
Yeah.
I pray you'll help us to be mindful of what's been said here today. Help us, I pray, to be good stewards to carry that message, Lord, to where it's needed. Whatever, Lord, needs to be done here today, I certainly don't know. Let it be done, I pray, to the glory and praise of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand and get Brother Jerry, if you would, please. I just sing a verse of invitation to him. If nobody needs to do something, by all means, don't do nothing. But if there's something you need to do, I want you to know, old Brother Eddie's here, I'll help you any way I can. I just know better than dismiss the service without giving an invitation, because you never know what God has said to someone. I know what he said to me. He said, well done, son.